Live from Burbank, California, a thriving little city with a hardware store, livery stable, dry goods store, and its own bicycle repair shop, it's the Mark Maron Show. And now, his proximity to the sea makes him the world's largest supplier of fish and kelp, Mark Maron!
Good evening, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, fans around the world, the blog party is happening. MarkMaron.com, MarcMaron.com. You can call in 877-520-1150. Man, we got a good show tonight, man. Can I say that, man? How about that, man?
You can say whatever you want, Mark.
How many times can I believe it? How many times can I say, man? That's ridiculous. That way, only three of those were intentional, and then the other two were not intentional. On tonight's show, we've actually got this guy from Nike who contacted us anonymously, oddly enough, and he's gonna really spill some beans about what's going on at Nike and some of their marketing methods. Pretty disturbing. Greg Fitzsimmons will be here, who I've known since he was a child. Greg Fitzsimmons is a comedian. You might have seen him a lot on VH1's Best Week Ever. He's also writing for my buddy Louis C.K.'s new show. He was also started in Boston. Along with me, and I remember when he started. I remember Greg Fitzsimmons when I thought he wasn't funny. And now that's been confirmed over the years, but I still like the guy.
How long ago was that?
Man, I don't even want to say. That was like 20-some-odd years ago. No, he's a very funny guy. I'm excited he's going to be here. In the second hour, we're going to have Geraldine Merritt from TalkLeft.com to make some sense of some stuff for me. And we have some surprise callers, I believe, tonight. But first, let's do this. A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. The U.S. military says it will probably close the Abu Ghraib prison within 3 months. But first, Chi-Chi! A military spokesman says that even though the prisoners will be assigned to other jails, quote, we'll be keeping them on a short leash, end quote. Short leash.
Leash.
Yeah. NASA's Cassini spacecraft may have found liquid water on the surface of Saturn's moon, raising new questions about the existence of life in our solar system. This discovery has Americans buzzing with new questions about the solar system, like, what's a solar system? And, dude, isn't Saturn a car? Why is there a car in space, dude? Barry Bonds has returned to the San Francisco Giants lineup after details emerged about his alleged longtime use of steroids. Although Bonds has repeatedly denied using steroids, it didn't help yesterday when he crushed a heckler's face between his rock-hard buttocks and beat another senseless with his third arm. And that's Mark Maron's Short Order News for tonight. A couple of thank yous are in order. Was that a rim shot at the end of that snuck in there? Brendan, P.W. McDonald, Jason Stein, the Jew from Wisconsin. Surprise guest in the wings from the old days. Maybe we'll bring him on just to laugh. Look, thank you guys who are blogging every night. I can't tell you how excited it makes me. I will now thank and wish a happy birthday to one of you, because I got a heads up from Stephanie, who said, just wanted to give you a heads up on the birthday today. Quiet Girl, the blogger who is an animation student who did the sketches posted on the Mark Maron Show blog, is having her 21st birthday today. She lives here in L.A., and I want to say happy birthday, Quiet Girl. There you go. The sketches are great. You should go see them. She got my eyes right, but other than that, they're cute, but a little disturbing. Didn't you find that? I thought the scraggly one. I like the way it looks, and I happen to feel that it might be a pretty decent representation of me. I'm just gonna have to own who I am. Do you understand? There's some reviews of my new CD online, and some of them are like funny, man. This is just hilarious. It's sort of like, this is sort of troubling, but it's funny because of that. And it's sad, but funny. And it's like opera. Wait, how is that good about a comedy record? It's like opera.
Opera's hilarious.
It is hilarious, but it ends tragically. I mean, I'm flattered by it, and I'm just going to have to accept that I am not everybody's cup of tea when it comes to comedy. If you want profound existential challenge, then come see a funny comedy show with Mark Maron. Tonight, or not tonight, Saturday. At the Improv, I'll be with Sarah Silverman and Todd Barry, two of my favorite comedians.
At the Melrose Improv?
At the Melrose Improv here in Hollywood. I didn't even know Todd Barry was in town yet. You know, that's how close we are. Me and Todd have known each other 20 years. Here's another email. I wanted to get some news, too. First of all, before I do the email, thank you, Jillian, up there in Oregon. Man, that care package was outstanding. All products bought from farmers around her area. She just, above and beyond the call of duty, we're talking toffee, maple syrup, coffee,
jalapenos,
jars of jalapenos, mustard, jam. Man, that was great. She said, so all the luck in your world, in the world, on your new show, and just know there's a reformed Jewish American princess farmer either listening to you live while sleep deprived or podcasting you often. And she said, please excuse the enclosed as not being a typical gift basket and being overly bubble wrapped. Man, it took us like a half an hour. The funny thing is a box that big and that heavy. When you're at progressive radio station, you think, like, this is bad. This could be bad. It could blow up. But I've never once, when we were on Sedition, we're on this show, have we ever not opened a care package? It's hilarious. Most radio stations throw them away. We're like, you know what? I'm going to risk it because there's probably chocolate in there or some food, man. There's mustard and beef jerky. And then I started thinking she had everything bubble wrapped. It almost looked like plastic explosives, but it was so fun. I was almost hoping on some level that the last thing, that she had planned the care package properly so the bomb was actually the last thing. Because it was like, oh, my God, beef jerky, fudge, no way, fudge, jalapenos, you know, like, to die in that much joy.
What can top fudge? A bomb.
Exactly. Exactly. But she said they're all from the area, from local farmers. Here's another email that I found touching, and I was very I'm proud of this guy, and I'm proud of you know, the work we did on the morning show. He said, this is a guy. His name's Chris. He's in Bourbon, Indiana. He wrote, I posted this on a blog. I can't post during the times your show is on because it's way too late for us Eastern Standard Time Zone folks. I still haven't, blah, blah, here we go. Basically what he said is that I sent out my press release today making the official announcement of my candidacy and just finished my first phone interview by a newspaper reporter. It's only at a state level in Indiana, so I won't try to pester you to have me on the show, but I thought you might like to know about it. Thanks for the inspiration and the funny, which keeps me sane in the face of so much horrid bleep heaped upon this nation by the immoral right. And what happened was is he decided to run for office. And I did this rant when I was on the air, and he said, you know, I'm running for office due largely to a little rant you had on Morning Sedition one time where I said, look, you know, you people can change some stuff. And a couple people actually went out there and did the work, and they're running for office. Hopefully he'll keep us posted on his campaign and let us know what's going on with that.
What's his name, Mark, if people want to, you know, find him and donate to his campaign?
I guess that I can say the last name.
Yeah.
His name is Chris Rahe, or Ray. It's R-A-H-E. R-A-H-E. He's out there in Indiana. It's not clear what he's running for, but it is on a state level. So look for that name and give him some money.
We also had a guy named Mike Sanchez in Texas who's going to run for Congress. So,
and he was running like in DeLay's district.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He still might be in the running.
Yeah.
DeLay just got the nomination because people in Texas or in his district, or Republicans specifically, some of them are retarded. Now, here's the deal. I think we need to talk about this a little bit because I am watching CNN, and Anderson Cooper and other anchors on the news are saying that George Bush, the blow monkey, faux Christian puppet of the neocon death cult there, has dodged a bullet when the DP World, the Dubai company that was going to manage the U.S. ports, six U.S. ports, said they weren't going to do it. Mm-hmm. He didn't dodge a bullet. He didn't make the announcement. What really is profound to me is that there's a couple things. First, the Republicans are turning on him, which is great on one level. On another level, they're just going to use it in their midterm elections or in the presidential election later to come, that they have found that this president, as he grows more unpopular, is somebody that they should distance themselves from. And this is a national security issue that they can make the platform of their campaigns in the future and distance themselves from a growing unpopularity of President Bush. Now, this is the GOP, the House and the Senate. They voted in the House Appropriations Committee, voted 62-2 to block the deal. And DP World, the Dubai state-owned company that was to oversee all these ports in this multi-billion-dollar deal, pulled out kind of. I mean, they have agreed to transfer the United States port operations to a United States entity. I mean, this may feel like a victory for those of us concerned about national security who are not Republican greed demons. But what U.S. company are they talking about? What is their relationship with the United Arab Emirates? I mean, Charles Schumer is trying to get an amendment to make sure that this company just doesn't buy another company here in the United States to do their bidding for them. And this is the way that global capitalism, free market global capitalism works. This was just one of those examples of something that got out of the bag. And not unlike the movie Network, when Beale gets on television and talks about the Saudi deal. And Ned Beatty pulls him into a room and tells him that he's meddled with the primal forces of nature, and he will atone. This is one of those things that happens all the time. Most of us don't know who owns what, which company, which countries own what companies. We have no idea, and this was one of those things that got out. The Republicans and the Democrats both saw it as a leverage issue to distance themselves from this president and make a move. But the bottom line is that the president is afraid of these companies. I mean, the president didn't make an announcement. He didn't dodge a bullet. He works at the behest of these companies. His father and their father's cronies through the Carlyle Group were going to make a fortune on this deal, and they still will. The bottom line is the Dubai company, DP World, is not going to lose any money here. The way this deal was going to work is that they bought a British company that oversaw ports in New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, New Orleans, Miami, Philadelphia, and it's only 10% of this deal's revenue. So even if the deal, even if this part of the deal doesn't go through, they still make $6.5 billion. So nothing really happens here. And we don't know what company is going to step in for this English company that was owned by the United Arab Emirates. And this is the way business is done. And the bottom line is, I don't think that George Bush dodged a bullet. I don't think he did anything. And he looks like a whore. He looks like literally that he has been turned out by Arab global businesses. And certainly the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates, to the point where he wouldn't even make an announcement. It came through the Senate. Bush didn't come out and say, the deal's off, so like me again. He didn't even have that kind of courage because he's afraid of these guys. These are the real forces that run everything. And this whole thing, stopping this deal, and I don't think it really is stopping the deal, is just a concession. This has just been made a political event. The bottom line is the forces of global free trade, do not care about national security. They don't care about any one country's national security. They don't care about the lives of people. They don't care about wars. They don't care about anything. They just work it into their bottom line. And terrorism and lives lost is part of their bottom line. And as long as the exchange continues to happen and they can make money out of it, they don't care. And this is just on some level, it's almost a moot point unless somebody stays on top of this and figures out, what the hell company is actually going to step in. Now, do we have time to take this call, or we should wait? We got Brian from Everett on the phone. A lot of you people don't know Brian from Everett. He's a guy that used to call in frequently to Morning Sedition, and he would sing songs, and he was one of my favorite guests, and we haven't talked to him since we've been here on the new show, so he's going to come in. We've also got Greg Fitzsimmons, the comedian. I want to talk to him about a porn sighting I had last night, in a very awkward kind of moment I had with a porn star. This is last night, and he hosted the Porn Awards this last year, so that should be an interesting progressive discussion. It is 19 past the hour. I hope you stay with us. I hope you're having a good night, sheeple.
Coming up next, it's the War on Brains with Mort Milvington. It's time to feel stupid again. And now, he refuses to get cable. Mark Maron.
All right. 23 past the hour. Thank you, Jimmy Earl. Thank you, people. Got Brian from Everett coming up in a second. Greg Fitzsimmons, the comedian, will be here any minute. Got a surprise guest from the old days out in the wings there. But right now, every week, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the four-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here with today's dispatch from the War on Brains is war correspondent Mort Milvington.
Dateline, Dallas, crime capital of the nation, and named after a crappy TV show more poorly written than the Texas Constitution. The War on Brains continues, you overstuffed guzzlers of high fructose corn syrup. For it was here in this sad metropolitan hell of coked-out technology losers where your president, Boob Lacan, did recently decree that our nation's abandoned litters of idiot schoolchildren should suddenly start studying math and science. But did the crap storm begin there, you backyard poultry farmers? No, for just days before that, in his State of the Union garble, the scene of yet another vicious and unprovoked attack on English grammar, did Osama bin Laden's puppet also call for the training and recruitment of 100,000 math and science professionals to help out in school classrooms? To which I heartily respond with the subtle help of Flavor Flav. What the what's he gonna pay them with? Vintage whip inflation now buttons? For isn't this the same president who just cut $12.7 billion from the education budget? That's $13 billion if you round up. And if you could do that, you'd also realize this is the biggest cut in education since W let one loose in Ethics 101 and blamed it on his teacher. Shameful. Ignominious. In the past 5 years of our long national Orwellian nightmare, the average cost of a tuition at a public university has gone up 57%, and the cost of room and board, 44%. And what of the cost increase for tattoos, light beer, vomit remover, and treating girls for carpal breast exposure syndrome? No man can say. But I can say this. As long as this proud kingdom of obtuse lemmings continues to be force-fed more unadulterated bullcrap than a condemned goose awaiting Horatio Sands' dinner plate, this nation's children shall be cursed to wander aimlessly about in a chasm of ignorance more lonely and more foreboding than Barbara Bush's snake-filled womb. And that's today's dispatch from...
That's because Horatio Sands is fat. Right?
Yeah, he's pretty plump, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, well, here he is, the long-awaited return, Brian from Everett. How are you, man?
Hey, man, you've really mellowed out since you moved to L.A.
Hey, dude, man. I
mean, you're like, you've switched your diurnal cycle 180 degrees.
That's right, man. I'm just hanging, dude.
Hey, it's like you know, it's not so much the Dubai as the Dubai brothers now, man.
Hey, right on, man. Hey, Blackwater, keep on rolling. Right?
No.
Now, come on, man.
But I have a song anyway, and I've been writing songs off and on. I write about one song a day, and then I kind of leave it on the ground. But I have this song about surveillance, because that's in the news, you know, because everyone's watching everyone. You know,
I'll
tell you what, there was a helicopter over my house the other day.
I'm sure there was. Do the song.
Okay. All right. We'll get right to it here.
Yeah.
Okay. They see you. No, you don't see them, but they see you.
Yeah.
They see you. You don't like it?
Yeah, it's great.
They see you. No, you don't see them, but they see you. From the things you can't explain to the core nut in your brain. Yes, they see you.
Woohoo!
Yes, they're blotting out the sun. Mother Nature's on the run. Cause they see you. They see you.
They see you.
The Hells Angels do good work with the autistic. Cause you know there's just some young men you can't reach. It's the planet of the apes. Barbara Bush is eating grapes. Lady Liberty lay sideways on the beach. Did you see them see me? Or did I see them looking back at you? Did you hear me drunk on beer? Did they hear and will they fill me up with fear? What's the consequence for being born a human? And will I be the domino that's next? Will they bring the hammer down? Will I just be a sad clown? Can we turn around this backwards twisted X?
We're going to have to play out on
you.
This. Just keep,
they see you.
You just keep singing. We're going to fade you out, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, you just keep singing. So,
that's
folks,
it. It's all over.
Oh, it is? Well, it's wonderful to talk to you, and I hope you're doing well, and I hope you continue to call in. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, you just keep playing. I love you, Brian. It sounds like you're doing okay. It's it's 29 past the hour, and just remember, they see you. Yeah, we'll have Greg Fitzsimmons coming in here in just a second. You can call at 877-520-1150. You can blog at marcmaron.com. You're listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150.
You're listening to a man who can't resist the rejuvenating qualities of warm monkey brains, Mark Maron. And now he's got bird flu, Mark Maron.
Thanks. That's beautiful, Jim. 35 past the hour. You're listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150. You can go to markmaron.com, marcmaron.com, and have fun there. Call us, 877-520-1150. So I'm eating dinner last night. This is leading up to our guest. There's a couple things that I think I should talk about before I introduce Greg.
I'm having dinner last night. I go to Dantana's. I've never been to Dantana's. It's a place that when I lived here before, back when I was a menacing demon fiend, it was always the hip place, the hang, the sort of, it was a little sleazy, but the food was always supposed to be good. But I never, ever went there, and I finally went there. My wife and I went on a date. We went to see the Russian vampire movie, Night Watch, which I thought was great. I really enjoyed it. And then we go to Dantana's, and we're treated very nicely. And we were given this big, beautiful booth. We're having a nice New York steak with some chicken marsala, Caesar salad, spaghetti. And we're talking. We're having this conversation about our relationship, and we're talking about my first marriage. And we're talking a little bit about what makes our marriage great and how when you're monogamous and when you trust each other and you're not really hiding anything, that the sex is so much better and so much more, and that it really makes the relationship solid when you have that sort of intimacy. And I'm talking about this stuff, just talking about how wonderful it is to be with one woman and to be sexually attracted to her. And right in the next booth, Ron Jeremy walks in. Plops is behind, right on the seat there to eat dinner. So I'm sitting there going, sex is so much better when you don't, you know, when you're not distracted, you know, or you're not cheating on somebody. And it's so important just to be one person. There's Ron Jeremy just shoveling bread into his mouth. The man who has had sex with, you know, thousands of people. And I was weird. I was lost in that sort of conflict of, is it really better? Is his life better? But then you keep looking at Ron Jeremy, and he may be a happy man. He may be a rich man, but How is his heart? Can you explain that to me, Greg Fitzsimmons? Let me introduce you first. Right now we have the this is actually a true statistic. We have broken the record for number of people in this room who have hosted a Viacom game show featuring Matt Price as a sidekick. Greg Fitzsimmons is here. Greg was on, what was that one you were on?
Idiot Savants,
which lasted a while. Mine, never mind the Buzzcocks, lasted like 12 minutes. And Matt was one of the sketch players on that show.
Yeah, he was great. He's a very talented guy.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Ron Jeremy, because that's really where it started.
Well, it was just one of these things where I do feel good about my relationship, and I have not I'm not, as I've always said, a porn addict or anything. But there is something satisfying about having sex with many different people, but it's different. And I tell you, right now in my relationship, it's best. It's the best it's ever been. And Ron Jeremy was just like this little devil sitting there,
making me wonder. Literally over your shoulder.
He was right there. I'm looking at my wife saying beautiful things to her, and there's Ron Jeremy just shoveling bread into his mouth, waiting for spaghetti.
Well, he's not the brightest guy in the world. I've talked to him. And
uh-huh.
He's happy where he is. He'll always be happy where he is.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the first pornography I ever saw. We used to go to a place in Albuquerque when I was in high school. Me and my friends, it was the Pyramid Theater. It was before video, so you actually had to go to the dirty places.
Sure.
And he was in one of the first ones I ever saw, and he's lasted, he's lived, he's become a clown now. He's like the clown prince of porn.
Well, what's amazing is that porn really was, it was dirty, and it was hidden, and it was in theaters mm-hmm. and trench coats. And now, it, like we were talking about, it's part of the mainstream culture, and he
scary.
Has become like a guy who a teenager would have a poster of in his room. He's
I think
pop.
That's scary, though, a little bit. Like I was just talking about that movie. What was the movie we were talking about? The Girl Next Door?
Yeah.
That seemed really wrong to me.
I don't know if it's scary. It doesn't scare me, because I think that the same kind of guilt and shame that's associated with porno, because I, hosting the Porno Awards, I went to a lot of the shoots. I went to, and
God,
I saw them shooting porno. And it really demystified it for me, and it took a lot of the shame away from it, because I saw that these people, they take their job seriously. They're checked by docs. There's no health risks. They're having sex. It's being filmed, and it's helping people that need an aid to, because they're alone. There's fat people. There's people that have bad social skills.
But let's be honest, though. I agree, and I have no problem with porn per se. But when I think about the first time that I saw pornography when I was in high school, it tainted my perception of what sex was to the point where it completely screwed my head up.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw it, I had not had sex yet.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the way sex was supposed to be. And it really screwed me up for, till last week.
Yeah. Now you've come full circle.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. It desensitizes you at a young age, which is a shame. The first time I saw porno, I was I grew up in New York, and I my best friend was a Colombian kid named David Aranguren.
Mm-hmm.
And his older brother was Hector,
mm-hmm.
who's now in jail for dealing cocaine. Who knew?
Yeah.
And I was sitting in his dad owned a Spanish bodega downstairs called Horatio's Las Americanas.
That's great.
And we'd sit upstairs and we'd watch stuff. And his Hector comes home one day, and I'm like, I don't know, 11.
Yeah.
And he pops in a porno video, And,
that's just weird.
And we start watching it, and I got an erection.
Uh-huh.
And then
good for you.
Hector grabbed it.
Oh, come
and
on!
Started laughing. Like, well, that's kind of the Latino culture. Hey, look at you! You know, like he was proud of me.
That's Latino culture, grabbing an 11-year-old's erection after you put a porn tape in front of your son?
Well, you know, in Latino
I've never heard
culture,
of that
no,
one.
The grandmothers will actually perform fellatio on the
Stop
boys.
Stop it!
Yes, it happened with Ilan Gonzalez.
Wait a minute. 877-520-1150. Please, would somebody defend the Latino culture and tell me it is not common for grandmothers to fellate their grandsons as some sort of, what is that, an initiation?
I think it's just their way of showing affection in the family.
That's crazy. All right, so that's your first experience. I think my point was that the desensitizing thing, let's stick with that, and also the objectification of women and of sex in general. I think that if you're not allowed to at least fumble around not knowing what you're supposed to do at least a couple of times, and you go into it thinking that, that
well, then on a personal level it worked against you, but if you talk about objectification of women, aren't we doing women a favor? They don't want to be fumbled with. They want to see a guy like Ron Jeremy, who is known for performing
fellatio. Well, when they're 15?
Sure, you're being schooled. Here's how to do it. Here's how to pleasure a woman. How are women's groups going to come out against that?
No, because pleasuring women and having intimacy and knowing how to have sex, if you learn that with somebody and maybe if you both watch a porno or you both explore together, that's one thing. You're sort of encouraging, like, 25. Look, when you're 15, go out with a 30-year-old first just so you can learn the ropes and then go back to your kid.
Watch a 30-year-old on film, see what he's learned. Bring it into your game.
Hold on a second. Let's take this call. Michael in Santa Ana, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah. Is that
I'm a Latino, and I just want to let you guys know that it's not a common thing to get fellatio from your grandmother.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. I think we'll probably get a few more calls. How about, is it common for your father to come in with a porno tape?
No, that's not common either. Maybe an older brother.
Oh, okay.
Older brother.
An older brother like me, but I don't know about a father.
Okay.
No. Well, Latino guys also hit puberty around 9.
No,
I'm Irish. I was like, I was 4 years away from any hair.
Then. I hit puberty around 13, just like everyone else, 12.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Take it easy.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. So that's at least validation from one person that it's not Latino tradition necessarily.
I don't know if it's a tradition. Maybe it's more with the Cubans, but I know what happened with Ilan Gonzalez, and then there was a lot of discussion about that happens.
All right. Well, let's move on. So you're hosting the – now, again, I'm in a weird place with porn because I think there's a lot of things wrong with it, and I never feel proud of myself after I watch it. But I do believe that it has a right to exist. But I think it does taint people's perception of sexuality if you see it at too young an age.
No pun intended. Yeah, and what happens is you watch it, and then the actions that you perform with a woman – become not so much what the woman would enjoy, like the finish of the act.
Yes, yeah.
Very often
right.
is not something I don't know any women, because I actually like porn that's kind of corny.
Yeah.
I like soft core. It's
sure.
her wedding night.
Yeah.
She's a virgin. She's taking her wedding dress off and she's naked for the first time. Kind of yeah. shy. Sure, she's got
wow.
nipple rings and tattoos, but she's a virgin. She's
yeah.
kind of
okay.
new at this.
Yeah.
And you suspend your disbelief. And to me, it's always like the people that voted for Bush the first time.
Uh-huh.
He came out and he said a bunch of stuff people needed to hear. Family values.
Right.
Patriot. Small government, all the stuff that he's gone against.
Mm-hmm.
But people needed to believe that, so they suspended their belief in what's obvious. He's not that guy.
Okay.
And in the same way, when I watch porno, I know this woman is a little hoary. She's in a porno movie.
Okay.
But I have to buy that she's a virgin at the beginning of the movie, or it doesn't really work. And by the end, when she's got a penis in each hand and
yeah.
she's performing oral on somebody, and you got to stop and go, hey, wait a minute. This woman is no stranger to a penis. And that's how the Republicans have to feel about Bush now. Like, come on. Didn't you see this coming?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I respect the fact that you still appreciate porn narrative because, man, I just want to be right in the middle. I don't want to hear anybody talking. I just want to see what's happening. I want to see the act itself and then move on.
Really?
Yeah. And here's the other thing that I have moved.
I need backstory now as I get older.
That's interesting.
I want to know the character's motivation in the scene. I swear to God, and I won't stick with it, but I need that as a springboard into my own narrative. I'll then take it over.
The one thing I have shifted,
I'll punch it up.
The one thing I've shifted in my opinion in terms of political opinion or my liberal opinion or whatever it is, my own opinion about porn is that I used to, you know, really blame the porn industry for victimizing women, but now I've sort of moved past that into a, everyone makes their own choices. As you said, it is a business. People are making choices. Whether or not it's pathological or not is that individual's business. It doesn't mean that she is not making a choice or he is not making a choice. So let's shift gears a little bit. Wait, a couple more calls about validating this thing. How are you, Dave and Covina? What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Two things. Yeah. First off, I don't know what you know about Latins, but that's definitely not cool. Maybe with Cubans or Colombians, but I don't know. Not Mexicans. Second thing, I love the Bush analogy, man. He's the Ron Jeremy of politics. Like, you couldn't have said it better.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's a, and let's do one more. This is from Kathy. Let's have some female energy on the show. How are you, Kathy?
Hey, you know what? I had an opportunity to meet Ron Jeremy about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I was dating Scott Irish, who was one of his co-stars, and their friend Randy West, who were a couple of delightful gentlemen. And Ron Jeremy was such a pig. He was so rude. It totally turned me off to ever watching porn again because it was impossible to feel any kind of turn on watching this guy perform, knowing what a nasty personality he had.
Oh, that was the only turn off? Was his personality?
Oh, he was just, he's like one of the rudest pigs I've met in life.
Not the fact that he's like this weird, fat, hairy, trolly looking thing?
Well, if he was nice and a gentleman, you
would
kind of be forgiving, but...
Well, that's nice that you see past that. I appreciate about that, that you're willing, that you would have given him a second chance had he just been a gentleman.
And I haven't watched porn since. Thanks to him.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks.
Well,
bye.
You know, I was actually at one of the porno shoots I went to.
You're going to porno shoots?
Yeah, I went to two or three of them before.
You bring your kids?
You know, my wife was going to come, but we couldn't get a sitter.
God,
not making that up. And so I went to one, and yeah. I'm standing on the roof. They're between scenes, and I'm standing there with the director, who's French,
yeah.
And who worked with Truffaut, and he is telling
Some
me
things are not going well for that guy.
No,
he's taking a little. This career took a nosedive.
He's
at some point.
The guy.
Yeah.
He is the number one porn director,
okay.
So or cinematographer.
So maybe
he's
doing
the shooter.
Well. Okay.
And so we're on the and they're
you mean the film shooter.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
And so he is standing there, and I start making fun of him because at the time the Muslims were all rioting in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking around. I'm standing with the other porn actors, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to kind of go over their heads. And then the other porn actor starts making jokes about it. Say, I guess they riot in socialist countries too. And they go on this whole diatribe about political systems, and I'm suddenly in over my head going,
wow.
Wait a minute, and these are the porn actors.
Well, so what you're saying is that maybe they are geniuses that just don't want to, you know, be bothered with having...
I'll tell you, it's that, I mean, that's oversimplifying it, but they were a lot sharper than I thought they would be, and a lot of them are just people that are pretty smart and just are not doing what the society wants them
perhaps
to do.
So I have to think about very complicated things about, to keep themselves from coming too quickly.
Yes.
Well, I think what we're moving towards here is perhaps a Pulitzer for porn or maybe a Nobel Prize for porn.
Well, I like to think it stopped a couple wars.
Yeah.
It takes the edge off.
It's certainly stopped me from doing some bad things. I mean, worse things. It depends how you look at porn. Stay with us. We're talking to Greg Fitzsimmons. Let's talk about family and stuff when you come back. Can we do that? You think?
Mm.
You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150, 877-520-1150. It is 50 past the hour.
And now back to a man who has never been flated by his grandmother, Mark Maron.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Greg Fitzsimmons is here. Taking us down the tubes.
Yeah.
That's all right, man. I think it's a reasonable topic. I've always liked talking about it, and some people are on one side or the other side. But let me try and make it topical and relevant to people that perhaps don't watch porn. 17 million people who paid for porn service online through a company called iBill had their personal information released on the internet. This could be any company, could be any service that you get or anything you buy. This is the weird thing about the internet. You look at that thing, secured connection, you just assume like, okay. Because the one thing you don't realize is that First of all, the information, it was names, phone numbers, emails, and IP addresses, passwords, types of credit card. So you ask yourself, well, how does this happen? Because it did say secured when I did the transaction. How can we trust these machines, folks, when there's a human sitting at a console looking at the information? Apparently a guy, just an employee at iBill, some guy took the transaction records, walked out, sold them on the black market. Just millions, 17 millions. This scares me more than anything, but they've trained us. My wife, every day, the mailman comes with a box. I'm like, what did she buy? I don't even know. Do you have that problem at home?
Well, I think also when it's things that people are ashamed of, the companies tend to abuse you more because they know that you're not going to make a big stink about it. You know, you buy a rubber vagina on the internet or something and it's defective. You're not going to.
You're probably going to throw away.
Yeah, you're going to throw it away.
Do you have this issue? I don't know what the hell. Sometimes boxes come and the mailman's like, I don't know. It's not even a matter of porn. It's just she does almost all her shopping on the internet now. There's no reason to ever go to a mall or anything.
Yeah, it is the best way to shop. You're not paying taxes. They bring it to your house. You can comparison shop online and get the best deal. It's just a matter of, you know, having your identity stolen.
Scary, man.
Yeah.
I've gotten to this point where I cut and paste everything. Like, I have this sheet on my computer with all my passwords. I just assume that somebody is tracking every keynote, every note.
They are.
So I put everything on a sheet that's cut and paste. So unless someone steals my computer, they're not going to know. But still,
I'm a little more hopeful. I think the apocalypse will happen before any of that stuff happens.
Do you ever have that feeling where it's like, I hope the world ends before I die so I don't miss anything?
Yeah.
I say that on stage sometimes and no one laughs, but how come you understand it?
Sometimes I get gas pains in my chest and I think I'm having a heart attack, and I get happy.
Uh-huh.
I think,
because you're like,
finally,
it's done, finally. There's a sadness to that. So it looks like we're running out of time. We're not going to be able to talk about kids and other things, but why don't you tell me what you got going on? What do you want to plug?
I'm going to be on Howard Stern on Wednesday morning, and then Thursday night I'll be on the Conan O'Brien show.
Were you just practicing for Stern? People are on the blog like, why are they talking about porn? Well, we just figured it out. Yeah, apparently Greg was just warming up.
And Friday I have a brand new half-hour special on Comedy Central at 9 o'clock.
Okay, well here, this is some validation. Ileana Gonzalez's grandmother allegedly touched his genitals and bit his tongue.
Okay.
So you kind of, in your head it just melded together because that's where your head goes.
Well, that's how, when you fantasize, different images all...
So you did another Comedy Central Presents?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I did the first season back in.
Yeah, me too.
Whenever.
I did that too. And so they gave you another one, huh?
Well, I was...
That's good. Good for you. No, that's great, man. It's good. No, seriously.
I had a nice crowd show up. What was your crowd like on your first Comedy Central?
It was Samoan teenagers. I don't even know what the hell that is. Literally, they busted them in from somewhere. Samoan teenagers.
Wow.
All right, folks. Thanks a lot, Greg. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.
AM 1150, Progressive Talk. It is 58 past the hour.
And now he's crazy like a fox, Mark Maron.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Jim. It's 6 past the hour. You are listening to AM 1150, Progressive Talk. How are you, geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, people? Had a nice, interesting, candid conversation about pornography with my buddy Greg Fitzsimmons. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to a bona fide, for real whistleblower, an employee at Nike. Is going to call us in. I think we've got his number. We're going to call him. He's got some information about Nike marketing practices, huh? That's the word I'm looking for. Every night we bestow an honor upon one distinguished citizen whose actions most closely represent those of our esteemed vice president. But tonight marks the first time our honoree is not an American citizen. So without further ado, we present the Mark Maron Show, Dick of the Day. Folks, are you willing to do whatever it takes to win? Are you willing to put other people's lives at risk just to get the outcome that you want? Valentin Favreau, I think is how you pronounce it, is a 16-year-old up-and-coming tennis star in France. Along with her brother Maxime, they have been playing the tournament circuit in Europe. I don't know whether they thought it was unusual that several of their opponents were plagued with nausea, dizziness, weakness, and fainting spells during their matches, but it was certainly no surprise to their father, Christophe, who had been spiking their rivals' water bottles with Temesta, an anti-anxiety drug. He Mickey-finned the kids 28 times. It caused one kid to crack up his car and get killed on the way home from a tournament. and this guy was sentenced to only 8 years in prison out of the possible 20 for unintentionally causing death by administering a toxic substance. He tried to use his military service record to lessen his sentence, and for that he gets extra points for being what could be a classic Republican. So, Christophe Favieu, you are Marc Maron's show double dick of the day. That's good. That's good. The two boings. So, folks, it's time now for the Marc Maron Show News Crunch. This is when someone who understands everything tries to get me to understand most of it, or as much as I can in 10 minutes. Joining me for tonight's crunch from Denver, Colorado, is criminal defense attorney Geralyn Merritt. Her blog is talkleft.com, and she's the co-author of a treatise on the U.S. Patriot Act. So she's perfect for what we're crunching tonight. Good evening, Geralyn. Welcome to the News Crunch. Maybe I should... pick up the phone. Hey, Geralyn, you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm so glad you're with us. So let's talk directly about the Patriot Act, because today he re-signed it. It's now back. Were there any concessions made? Is it any different?
It really isn't any different. They were mostly cosmetic and hollow changes. You know, the things that needed to be changed were things like, let's stop this, what we call the sneak and peek searches, where mm-hmm. they get to search your house and not even tell you you were there. They were there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know they were there, how are you going to go complain to a court about it?
Right.
The records where they gag you. So
yeah.
They get your records and then they say you can't tell anybody about it. Well, now they're saying, okay, well, you don't have to tell the FBI that you got that you told your lawyer. That's a cosmetic change.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So that means if they do take all your records, they do confiscate it. Now you don't have to shut up about it. You can try and make an issue with it, but that really doesn't matter. They still get to do it, right?
They still get to do it, and you can't tell everybody about it. You can only tell your lawyer.
So, and then hopefully you can take some action in court anyways.
Right, but there might be a time limit on that. In other words, they may make you wait so long that it really doesn't do you any good.
Now, how does this the new Patriot Act apply to? Were there any changes in how the FISA court is going to be able to do business, or how that was he able to get out from around that?
No, it really didn't deal with the FISA court at all. That's a totally separate thing that's going on, and the Republicans in Congress just 2 days ago killed the investigation into it.
So there's absolutely going to be no investigation. Yeah, we understand that because they're in control of everything. But it is pretty clear to me, and I imagine to you, I don't know, that this president did break a law.
Oh, I think that he did. And, he's relying on a provision in the Constitution that he says gives him authority to do it. And he's relying on the Congressional Declaration of War for Iraq. And neither one of those give him the power to do this.
So now, what about the United Arab Emirates deal pulling out of this, the ports thing? Isn't it interesting that the president didn't actually make the announcement himself, that he has not said anything about the pullout, and that I got the feeling that this is it's not a real stopping of the deal. We don't know what company they're going to subcontract now.
Exactly. I'm kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
the Dubai company said, okay, we'll sell it to an American entity. But what is an American entity? Can that American entity have a foreign parent company?
Right, exactly. So now in this deal, I thought personally that Bush did not get away clean. I thought this made him look even worse and even less like a leader. A lot of people were saying he got off the hook, but I think this makes him look ridiculous, that he was obviously operating at the behest of this company and was not even able to say anything against him.
Exactly. And, you know, he really, it kind of hit him by surprise. I don't think he knew about this very long before it happened. And then he jumped right in and saying, oh, these people are our friends. It's okay. And, the fact that it's the Republicans that jumped the hardest and the loudest on him is really interesting. I think the political fallout from this is going to last a while.
It's a pretty good indication that most of the GOP is starting to realize that this guy is becoming an increasingly unpopular president, and that if they don't figure out how to distance themselves from him now, they won't have a political future themselves.
That's right. They've got the 2006 elections coming up. He's got the lowest poll ratings he's ever had, and you know they're afraid it's going to, you know, it's going to affect those elections, and it very well may. We're getting fed up. We got to do something about this.
So, do you think that ultimately this is going to change any of the business practices? Is it, do you know about Charles Schumer's amendment? Is this going to, because this seemed to me to be one of those elements or one of these events in global business that just got out of the bag somehow, and they were able to politicize it. But it seems to me that this stuff takes place all the time.
I think it does, too. And when you're talking about Schumer's amendment, are you talking about the one that says we're not going to let anybody other than an American company operate our ports?
Yeah, and that has to be proven. That is an American company exclusively, correct?
Right. But, I don't know if that's going to go anywhere. I don't know that the Republicans are going to go that far in terms of, you know, we can't pass anything while they're still in control.
But it seems to me that there is some, I guess, begrudging bipartisan interaction going on around national security because the Republicans are taking the lead in some of this stuff all of a sudden against this president. And I think some Democrats are jumping on board.
Yeah, they are. But you know, it's just like Schumer today. You know, he said, well, he's going to withhold judgment on it until he sees which company it is to see whether or not it's really an American company. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I think there may be a split as to what's acceptable and what's not. I don't know that all the Republicans are going to require it to be an absolutely American company. I think a lot of them just have problems because it's Middle Eastern.
We're talking to Geralyn Merritt. Her website is talkleft.com. Well, look, let's talk about Tom DeLay a little bit. It's amazing to me, given the baggage that this guy is carrying, that he could win anything. I mean, what are these people, stupid for voting, that making him allowing him to win the primary?
They're either stupid or they have misplaced loyalty.
Exactly. They see it as a sporting event. They don't care. They just want to win.
You know, it's just, I mean, there were three challengers. There wasn't even a runoff. He just took it clean.
And, you know, in that state, Democrats can vote in Republican primaries, and I'm surprised that Democrats didn't show up in force just to vote for his opponents.
I know, although, you know, there's some speculation that the Democrats really wanted him to win the primary because he'd be such a liability by the time November came around that it might make a Democrat get the seat. Whereas if he just lost the primary and a strong Republican came in, the Democrats might not get the seat in November.
Oh, that's interesting. So now, have you been keeping up with the Abramoff trial? Investigation?
Mm-hmm.
I just read today that apparently, after ratting out a few Republicans, and God knows how many people are affiliated with him in terms of who could go down because of their alignment with him, that now he's no longer just trying to get to save his own ass. He's literally pissed off, and he's got a vengeance, and it seems to me that he's got nothing to lose, and he's talking about everybody.
Oh, I think he is talking about everybody, and I think by the time everything is said and done with him, he'll end up with less than 5 years in jail. That's my prediction.
Yeah, and do you think he'll have a career when he gets out?
Not as a lobbyist. Maybe he can open another restaurant.
Yeah, that's right, a smaller restaurant with a different clientele.
Right.
Geralyn Merritt, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for joining us on the News Crunch here.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
You bet. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. That was Geralyn Merritt. She's from talkleft.com. That amazed me. I was reading this thing today. Online, there's some teaser going on about Jack Abramoff and the Indians. But Jack Abramoff, literally, I think initially during the investigation, he was like, you know, I'll tell you what you need to know if you can cut some time off my sentence. But now he's been hung out to dry by just about, you know, everybody he knows. And he's starting to get pissed off. He has nothing to lose. He was talking about Ken Mellman, the RNC chair, who said that he didn't really know Abramoff. He said that Mellman had him over for Sabbath dinner. He was talking about Newt Gingrich, who said that he wouldn't recognize Jack Abramoff. And apparently Jack Abramoff sat there and showed about 20 or 30 pictures of him and Newt Gingrich. And then President Bush claims that he does not remember having his picture taken with Abramoff. And Abramoff said that the president once commented on his body. When he said to him, what are you benching, buff guy? Can you believe that the president's like, hey, what are you benching, buff guy? I mean, that sounds a little bit like it's bordering on flirting. Am I wrong there, Jim? So, look, I am hoping, personally, for more dirt from the dirtiest lobbyists ever. So, I mean, stay tuned for that because, folks, the Republicans are certainly eating their own. Is Jim going to play a song? Is that what this big preparation is right now?
Yeah.
Okay, hit it.
Got a little tune.
Okay.
Here he comes. With all his feral cats, now all his t-shirts smell like pee. Poor Marquis. You'd best stay out of his way. He drinks 37 coffees every day. He likes to put the right wing down. What a clown. Cause everybody knows it's the Mark Maron Show. Every night at 10, it's the Mark Maron Show. Oh, 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 it's the Mark Maron Show. See the way he walks? I don't have an ending to this.
Hear the way he talks. And then you'd have to start a whole nother
verse.
You're
just a little tease.
Oh, now it's getting weird. All right, folks, about 20 past the hour here.
Listless, unmotivated, completely drained of hope? Come join the fun at markmaron.com.
And now, back to Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. It's 22 past. Let's do this now. You are listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150. You can go to markmaron.com, M-A-R-C-M-A-R-O-N, or call us at 877-520-1150. Look, right now, folks, companies have used some questionable tactics to get brand recognition. Shoe companies give their newest product to popular inner city youth so that the product will be thought of as what the cool people wear. And it's nothing new that companies will sponsor high-profile athletes and movie stars, giving them free clothes in an effort to advertise those clothes. Well, now the Nike company has combined these tactics to form a truly despicable new kind of marketing. Disturbing. On the line, we have a whistleblower who works for Nike. I know you can't say your name, but you are currently working for Nike, sir. Is that true?
Yes, that is true, Mike.
Uh-huh. And what's going on?
Well, you know, Mark, I've been with Nike for years, and I've always thought of it as a great company. The whole sweatshop labor thing got blown way out of proportion, in my opinion, and I truly believe that they make the best sports and active lifestyle equipment in the world today. Yeah. Now, I thought it was questionable when they gave shoes out to inner cities, encouraging crime by, you know, getting inner city youth to live beyond their means. But
right.
I can't keep quiet anymore. I recently learned that Nike tried to sponsor a rapist.
No, you're kidding.
I wish it wasn't true. It turns out that someone in the ad department here had a connection to the LAPD Special Victims Unit and found out that there were a series of rapes going on in the Echo Park area. Now, this individual who worked in the marketing department for Nike got word that a story about this rapist was about to be released, and the reporter was going to call the pervert the Echo Park rapist.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. Now, in the victim's description of the suspect, they noted that he had a Nike hoodie on. Now, the person in our ad department, this somebody's just as sick as the rapist, in my opinion. This person seized on this and suggested to the reporter that the Nike rapist was a catchier, you know, title than the Echo Park rapist.
That's disgusting.
Really disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, just because a rape suspect is wearing a G or All-Pro hoodie with drop-tail side vents that facilitate easy athletic movement, breathable embroidered eyelets at the underarm for added air conditioning, doesn't mean you call him the Nike rapist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's heinous.
The Jeter All-Pro hoodie is an amazing product. It really is. And you can find it and many other active lifestyle products at www.nike.com. But they have an online discount available only through the website. And this whole thing just makes me sick.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Is there anything else involved with this story?
Unfortunately, there is. They actually caught the Nike rapist, as they're calling him, and they let this sicko go.
What do you mean they let him go?
It's amazing what a few thousand dollars and, you know, corporate dollars and corrupt cops can do.
Uh-huh.
They actually had the suspect in cops custody. And listen, all I know is that this guy went in for questioning as a rape suspect, and he left with some of the top-of-the-line Nike products, like a pair of Nike IMAX Trifectas, which really is an amazing shoe with full-grain and synthetic leather uppers that offer a comfortable, durable fit and lightweight Phylon midsole that delivers cushioning without added weight.
Wait a minute. You mean
the solid rubber outsole with a modified herringbone pattern that gives up great traction.
Wait.
It's just diabolical.
So Nike is essentially sponsoring this rapist? They're using product placement in the crime of rape?
Yes. Yes, that is it exactly. The suspect left with a dry fit distance half zip top.
Oh, my God.
And the dry fit wicks away moisture for cooler, drier performance.
No, wait a minute.
It has a storm flap that keeps bad weather at bay. He also left with a new pair of Arab Vomeros for men.
Wait a minute.
The Arab Vomeros have an anatomically molded external here that
Wait a minute. They are giving this guy Nike products.
Absolutely, it's disgusting. I mean, these are great products. I'll give them that, but it's
all
awful
right.
what they're
all
doing.
All right. Well, now if this is true, man, we're talking about levels of corruption not only by Nike but by the LAPD, and I mean this is unprecedented. What you're telling me?
Absolutely, Mark. This monster is still at large.
Wow. That's the important thing to remember, people. This guy is still out there.
Yeah, and that's why we encourage women in the Echo Park area or any area where there's a rapist at large to log on to www.nike.com and purchase a pair of Nike Shox Bomber Series 4 basketball sneakers. The integrated heel ankle strap locks down the foot for a secure fit during explosive takeoff.
I can't believe it. You're shilling Nike products while we're talking about this rapist.
Mark, I'm trying to keep women from being raped,
I can't believe this.
And when they're running from this piece of trash, they're going to want a dry-fit, seamless back closure sports bra.
They've
got molded cups with seamless construction that includes a built-in support zone for controlled movement in their workout. Low scoop back allows maximum range of motion during sports or running from races.
No. You're just trying to sell Nike swag here, and I can't let it go on.
Log on to www.nike.com and get a free Kobe Bryant Air Screamer ring with a made of durable metapolymer plastic with titanium whistle.
That's it. Goodbye. You know, I mean, I should have woken up to that earlier, but for some reason I thought that was legitimate. You know what I mean?
That was inexcusable. That was just
offensive. I couldn't believe it. So now Jim is going to, you know, Jim, you're mad, right?
I'm PO'd.
Okay, well, we're going to spin the Jim Earl Wheel of Anger in a minute, and, you know, we're going to do a little something about we're going to talk about the Phelps, right? The anti-abortion people?
Right.
All right,
Fred Phelps.
Stay tuned for Jim's Wheel of Anger.
And now back to a man whose ports are controlled by foreign interests, Mark Maron.
Wow, what does that even mean? 35 past the hour. You're listening to the Mark Maron Show on Progressive Talk, AM 1150. You can go to markmaron.com, markmaron.com. We've got someone calling in response to the Nike whistleblower. Ruth in L.A., how are you?
Hi.
What's up?
Mark, great to hear your show. First thing, I have a question, and then I have a comment.
Yeah.
The question is, where was it published or said that this person was the Nike rapist?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back over the interview, but
okay. Well, I hope you do.
Okay.
Maybe your readers know. But, you know, I'm a cardiologist working in Los Angeles. My hospitals are near Echo Park. I'm assuming he's talking about Los Angeles.
Sure, yeah, he was. He was talking about Los Angeles.
The bottom line is every single person who is listening to Mark Maron right now needs to either get on the internet or get your pens out and write Nike a letter that you are personally deciding to boycott them, because now it wasn't bad enough that they were, you know, running sweatshops.
Right.
This is disgusting.
Absolutely.
I'm not a flag waving feminist, but I mean, the bottom line is to use somebody else's tragedy. First of all, I don't know whether this guy, I have no idea whether what he's saying is true. I don't even know. If let's say, for instance, it was the L.A. Times that
right.
he was saying.
Right.
The guy's such a, what do you want to call it, a professional liar.
Right.
That I don't even know if the L.A. Times did do it.
Right.
If somebody shows that the L.A. Times did it, then we ought to all be writing the L.A. Times, which is what I was doing anyway.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of it, Ruth.
Okay.
And I appreciate it.
Really, I hope everybody listening writes Nike. This is unacceptable.
They should not sponsor rapists.
Well, or even if it's a fake, to have somebody call up and do something like that on a liberal talk show.
Horrendous.
I don't trust them in the first place. I don't know whether they did this just to get something on. Maybe the whole thing is made up.
But, yeah.
Anyway.
Thanks a lot, Ruth.
You.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, yeah, she's pretty worked up about that. So I appreciate that call. And if you want to, you can certainly email her right, Nike, about sponsoring rapists. Right now, I kind of botched up. But, you know, Jim, you're an angry guy, and you're not talking a lot tonight because I know you're festering, and I know you're angry about a lot of things. I know some of them specifically. But why don't we spin the wheel of anger tonight and see what Jim's angry about. And look at that, Fred Phelps. What do you got, Jim?
Yeah, you know what I have here? I'm sure you've all read about the Kansas Westboro Church and the Ropers. And I'm not talking about that annoying couple who live next door to Jack and Chrissy. Even worse, I'm talking about Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Shirley Lynn Phelps Roper, daughter of Fred Phelps, a God Hates Fags Baptist. He and his daughter Shirley Lynn and her brood of 11 cretins and about 60 other members of their moronic cult travel around the country like the Partridge Family, spreading pain with their voices. The only difference is the Partridge Family never went around yelling homophobic hate slogans at funerals of fallen war vets. Now, at least 14 states are considering outlawing their protests at military funerals. And as a result, this week the church had to abort their plans to demonstrate in four other states. Now, that's something else these nuts are probably against, abortion. I don't know about you, but eliminate that and anal sex, and there go my weekends. I'm not going to defend these people, Mark, but this is a free speech issue, all right?
Yeah.
After all, if I have to have the right to practice abortions and anal sex on my front porch, then I guess they have the right to protest my funeral. Hell, I'd be happy if anybody came to my funeral, for that matter.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, this is exactly the kind of civil rights slippery slope the Bush White House thrives on. Are you going to tell me that when our president finally chokes to death on a plastic whistle, I can't yell good riddance, you dumb hillbilly putz, at his funeral? No, of course not. So what are the two main arguments against these people, Mark?
I don't know.
Well, first, they're exhibiting vile and sensitive behavior at solemn gatherings where families are mourning their fallen loved ones. Well, that's the ugly side of the First Amendment, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's not against the law. What is against law is banning ugly words in 14 states. Ugly speech is a price of democracy. We don't have a democracy, but if we did, that would be the price.
Right.
The second argument is this. The Westboro Baptist Church is unchristian. Now, that's totally off base. I don't buy that at all, because according to the Bible, God and Jesus do hate gays. They also hate women, democracy, free speech, the environment, sex, and most types of fun. Read the Bible, Christians. It's a hellish instruction book promoting child abuse, mass murder, animal rape, and slavery. I guess that's the price you pay for letting a fairy tale run your life, losers.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is this, Mark. I'm sick of people pointing out hateful behavior and then saying that's not how good Christians act. Because that is how they act. And they've been acting that way for 2,000 years. So suck it up and love yourself, you hateful bastards, because that's who you really are. You're living in a dream world, and for that, you've just taken a ride on Jim's Wheel of Anger.
Wow. Let's hear the noise again.
Where the hell's the noise? I'm getting angry at that.
All right. Maybe we'll... Jim, you know, I got to tell you something. It was great to hear you speak as Jim. There's some real heart coming out there. And it's weird that you bring that up, that whole issue of the extreme margin of the right wing. Because like just today, the state of Tennessee passed a proposal to amend the state constitution so that it does not guarantee a woman's right to an abortion. And now this is a different approach than the one taken by South Dakota Governor Rounds, who passed a law prohibiting almost all abortion in his state. But the momentum is the same, all right? Conservative states trying to enact anti-abortion amendments and legislation on a state level in hopes that it will provoke a challenge and force a hearing of the case by the Supreme Court that will lead to the dismantling of Roe v. Wade. These are going to be the issues. They got nothing else. So in 2006 elections and in 2008 elections, it's going to be national security and abortion, and that's it. And it's going to get worse because already there's a guy out on the out on the margins, this guy is from North Carolina. He's a candidate for Congress. His name is Vernon Robertson, and this is an actual ad for his campaign.
If you're a conservative Republican, watching the news these days can make you feel as though you are in the Twilight Zone. Americans are under attack from Islamic extremists in every corner of the world. Homosexuals are mocking holy matrimony, and the lesbians and feminists are attacking everything sacred. Liberal judges have completely rewritten the Constitution. You can burn the American flag and kill a million babies a year, but you can't post the Ten Commandments or say God in public.
One nation under...
7 out of every 10 black children are born out of wedlock, and Jackson and Sharpton claim the answer is racial quotas. And the aliens are here, but they didn't come in a spaceship. They came across our unguarded Mexican border by the millions.
I'm Vernon Robinson. If you send me to Congress, I'll send that back to the Twilight Zone. I approve of this message and of traditional American values.
Man, I wish that was a prank. I hope that's a prank. I hope that somebody informs us that that wasn't real. But as far as I can tell from the research we did, that is an actual campaign ad by a guy named Vernon Robertson, Robinson, out of North Carolina. And I just, it's extreme, certainly copyright infringement at the very least, but these are the people that are going to start to come out of the woodwork as we move towards the elections, you know, both in 2006 and in 2008. Another interesting legal tale. Well, why don't we say hi to Dan Pashman? I can't. He's just sitting there. He hasn't laughed yet. So apparently it's not been funny enough to hear the classic Dan Pashman laugh. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, who some of you know from our old show Morning Sedition, is here in Los Angeles doing what, Dan?
I just came to visit you guys.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah, mostly.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Yeah. Wow.
And you were up in San Francisco in the Bay Area?
I was in the Bay Area, Oakland, Berkeley, San Fran, et cetera. Now I'm down here. In L.A., home of the stars.
Yeah, that's right. Could you right over there, can you look out the window? NBC, that's where television is made.
Oh, wow. Is that where that happens?
Yeah, that's where the Tonight Show's made. That's a TV mill, and we're here in the radio mill.
Right.
Not as glorious or glamorous. But listen to this, Dan, because you're an Adam Sandler fan. But
yeah.
Apparently a Texas bankruptcy judge in a recent court order actually footnoted a quote from Adam Sandler from the film Billy Madison. It wasn't Sandler himself. But apparently a motion was made that the judge dismissed because it was just, like, ridiculously confusing. And I have it right here. This is an order denying motion for incomprehensibility. All right. Before the court is a motion entitled, quote, defendant's motion to discharge response to plaintiff's response to defendant's response opposing objection to discharge, end quote. True. Document 7. As background, this adversary was commenced on December 14, 2005 with the filing of the plaintiff's complaint objecting to the debtor's discharge. Defendant answered the complaint on January 12, 2006. Document number 3. Plaintiff responded to the defendant's answer on January 26, 2006. Document 6. On February 3, 2006, defendant filed the above-entitled motion. The court cannot determine the substance, if any, of the defendant's legal argument, nor can the court even ascertain the relief that defendant is requesting. The defendant's motion is accordingly denied for being incomprehensible. All right, then there's this footnote from the judge down here, footnote 1, or in the words of the competition judge to Adam Sandler's title character in the movie Billy Madison, after Billy Madison had responded to a question with an answer that sounded superficially reasonable but lacked any substance.
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Oh, man, that's classic.
Yeah, and then it says, deciphering motions like the one presented here waste valuable chamber staff time and invites this sort of footnote.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine.
But he actually wrote all of that stuff out, the judge. So there you go. That's your boy. You're an Adam Sandler fan?
I love Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. Those are classics. You know, he's kind of gone downhill since then. But I actually invented a Billy Madison drinking game.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a website and everything back when I was in college. And well, it was kind of too complex to explain, but it involved, like, drinking every time something funny happened.
You're right. That sounds complicated. I'm glad you're not going to go into it because I'm already lost.
So you never got drunk. You stayed completely sober.
Well, I set him up and you knock him down, Jim.
Jim is so clever. So, Dan, so why don't you tell our Mark Maron Show people what you've been up to back there at the Air America home base.
Well, after my sad departure from Morning Sedition, I was working on the Randy Rhodes Show up until this past Friday. And I was, you know, doing well at Randy's show. And then I get this time off now. So I said I'm going to come out to California, see my friends out here, and then starting next week, I'm going to begin production of a new show that does not yet exist on Air America Radio, weekend show.
Really? Ours barely exists on Air America Radio.
So you're one step above ours.
Yeah, we've got one station going, dude.
Yeah, well, our show actually runs at halftime of Clippers games.
Oh, that, nice. So it's just, they're going to squeeze it in.
Yeah,
exactly. Taking a break from Clippers talk. And so how's it been working for Randy? And you want to dish on Randy a little bit? Is she just? I know you're not going to.
There's not that much to say, really.
Yeah. I did the commentary with her on the Left of the Dial DVD. And the entire thing is just me going, Randy, please. Why are you going to? Oh, boy.
There's a great part where she starts going off on certain executives. You're like, Randy, I don't think that we should say that. You might not want to. And she's like, oh, no, I'm going to say it, damn it.
Yeah.
I should tell you, Mark, I listened to that last night.
Yeah.
And there is about a 8-minute stretch of silence that they must have edited out for legal reasons.
Oh, because
on
yeah.
your audio track. And it's clearly something Randy was saying, because she starts to launch into something and then it goes back to the audio of the actual film for about 8 minutes straight and then comes back to something totally off topic. So I don't know what was said in that room, but I assure you nobody wanted to get the Billy Madison verdict read to them in court for it.
Well, that, of course, Brendan Peter McDonald on the mic. For those of you who don't know the voice, we're all back together. The team is here. Sans Riley and Boy Genius Crimmings and Livingston, David Livingston. Little Goliath.
Brendan and I got mail from a temp agency asking to verify that he had worked for us and write up a performance evaluation of him, like as a reference for a temp agency in New York.
Didn't I get one of those from someone to ask me about you?
Yeah.
who wrote that? Oh, that's for the new show.
Right.
Yeah, I said nothing but good things. I said you were a wizard and a genius.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Your lovely fiance, Janie's out there.
She is. She's here as well.
Why don't you come over to the house for maybe something on Saturday?
I think we're going to. Hopefully we're going to see you at your comedy Saturday.
That'll be
night
at the
as well.
Improv on Melrose here in Hollywood, 8 and 10 o'clock on Saturday night. You're listening to The Mark Maron Show. It's Progressive Talk, AM 1150, 877-520-1150. It's 50 past the hour.
Stay where you are, because I'm looking at you through the bathroom window. Oh, and Mark Maron's short order news is coming up next. And now back to the guy who took Paris Hilton's diaries, Mark Maron.
That's right, 53 past the hour. Hey, bloggers, I do remember this guy on the blog here, R.C. Towns, said, Mark, don't you remember Vernon Robinson from the 2004 race? That's his stock and trade. To top it off, he's a black-hating African-American. I do remember doing that on Morning's Edition. He ran in 2004, complete whack job, complete freak. I remember talking to Riley about him, and we talked about how he was not a legitimate candidate, and he was just this freak show. But I think on some level, that type of advertisement, that type of thinking, does represent the secret id of a good deal of the right wing. I think that's out there. Don't you, Pashman?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think there are a lot of ways, Mark. Thank you. There are a lot of ways that they cater to racists and that they subtly bait racists. And this is one of the more blatant ways. But, I mean, this whole act
to take a black racist to bait racists.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But do you think that guy, Vernon Roberts, like, there's a reason why a black guy like Vernon Robinson takes this kinds of stances that he takes? It's because as soon as he walks in the door, the Republicans will put him up for Congress.
Yeah, right. He's like a no man's land, that guy. He's like his own island.
Right, but just by virtue of the fact that he's black, they can run him on this kind of a platform and say, see, look, we're not racist. We have a black guy saying it.
We like black people. Look, here's one that hates one.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like your radio styles. I couldn't agree with you more, Dan Pashman. So you were like, I better do the news now, huh? Is there any time? Okay, let's do that. Dan, I love that you came by.
Well, thanks for having me.
A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. The U.S. military says it will probably close the Abu Ghraib prison within 3 months. A military spokesman A military spokesman says that even though the prisoners will be assigned to other jails, quote, will be keeping them on a short leash, end quote. Wow. I couldn't get through that one. NASA's Cassini spacecraft may have found liquid water on the surface of Saturn's moon, raising new questions about the existence of life in our solar system. The discovery of water proves that Saturn's rings could have been avoided if somebody had just listened to their mother and used a coaster. Barry Bonds has returned to the San Francisco Giants lineup after details emerged about his alleged longtime use of steroids. Not only that, Bonds also has been selected to run in this year's Kentucky Derby.
Although Bonds has repeatedly denied using steroids, it didn't help yesterday when he crushed a heckler's face between his rock-hard buttocks and beat another senseless with his third arm. And as you know, Bonds sat out most of last season because he was unable to find his testicles. His testicles. Testicles. And that's Mark Maron's short order news for tonight. And that, of course, is the classic Pashman laugh. Is that it? That's where we're going? That's time? How you doing there, Jim? Tomorrow, you know, we've got Joel Stein. That's not tomorrow. It's Monday. Friday, we're off again because there's a sporting event of some kind. What's it called? The sporting event?
The Skippers.
Yeah, the Skippers are playing somewhere. But on Monday, Joel Stein will be here. He's the guy who recently wrote a story about how he doesn't support the troops in the LA Times. We'll find out why there was relatively little backlash from that piece. Plus, for our Latin listening audience, we'll hear what I sound like in Spanish. But not me doing it, somebody doing me in Spanish from the DVD Left of the Dial, the Spanish track. What do you got, Jim? Anything?
You know, my Spanish name is Santiago.
I think mine is Marcos. Marcos. All right. Good night, sheeple.